It's a joy that you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. I'm Evangelist Alan Domley, and of course, this is my home church, and it's good to be here with my people, and then of course, all the pastors that have come. We appreciate you coming. We're scared to death who is going to show up. I'd hate to have to preach this to the staff here, and of course, they need it, but we're glad that you showed up. Thank you for coming and being a part of our first conference. We appreciate it. We're thankful that you're here, and for many of you who traveled many hours, we hope this conference will be a blessing to you, that you'll be able to go back home, take some of the things that are taught to you, and we'll help you out. I promise you this, it'll be practical. You'll go home being able to take what we've taught you and be able to do it in your church. I mean that. You don't have to worry about it. We're not here to try to show you something that you cannot do. I believe with all my heart, one thing that you can do is you can copy what's going on here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And we understand, of course, many of you men, I preach in your churches, and we count it an honor that you would come and be a part of our conference here this week. I have the privilege to get to introduce my preacher, Dr. Jeff Owens. For 18 years, he was an assistant pastor for Dr. Jack Hiles. During that time, he was able to take an adult Sunday school class, and of course, many of you may have been in that. He was able to take that class and build that class to 400 to 500 people every Sunday, an adult Sunday school class. You have to understand, at most churches wouldn't run that. Yet, he took a class, all adults, would average 400 to 500 every Sunday in one class, probably the largest Sunday school class in the world in an independent Baptist church. He was able to do that. Along with that, He wrote two books on character. Not that he is a character, and we know that part probably is a little bit true, but more than that, he is a man of character, and I mean that. I've known him for quite a few years. My first, I guess you would say run-in with him, I was preaching. After I was done preaching, he was sitting right behind me. I was done. He came up, gave me a note. I got to meet him a little bit. We talked. I watched him. I studied him. He's a man of character. He's a man of integrity. He's a hard preacher, but not just a hard preacher, a balanced preacher. Very often you get a man who can preach hard. He's not balanced. I promise you, our people here at this church get a well-balanced diet in preaching. It's wonderful. I'm glad that he's my friend. I'm glad he's a friend to many of you here. Thank you, Brother Owens, for allowing me to be a part of this conference. And let's welcome Dr. Jeff Owens as he comes and preaches.
Thank you. Have a seat, please. Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat.
I honestly want to thank all of you for being here tonight. I want to thank my folks for being here. I have many folks that, we've been in the middle of our fall program, and we've been very, very busy around our church. I just couldn't describe to you how busy we have been, and many of them are here tonight. A lot of them would like to be here. Many are working, but I understand that. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I have just gone back and forth and toiled about what I'm about to do. I'm not about to preach to you. Now, if you come back tomorrow night, and I'm going to preach every 11 stuffings out of you, but tonight I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to talk to you. Here's something wonderful for me. I look out, I see a lot of you men, pastors, assistant pastors, and people that I've known through the years. It's a delight for me to have you here and visit our church this evening, and I'll tell you why. Because as I look out into the crowd, I see many people that are my friends. I'm talking about my friends that have come here. You pastor a church, or an assistant pastor, or even the lay people that I have gotten to know through the years. And so I have my friends and people that I've known for years from around the country. But then also, I've got my people here at the church, and they are my friends as well. I'm glad that you get to come, and you get to see our church, and our church gets to see you. And I think through the years, I think you'll get to know them, and they'll get to know you. And so this is a good night for me, where two worlds get to come together a little bit, and I truly and honestly enjoy that. Now, again, I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not about to romp and stomp and run and kick things. I'm going to talk to you. And I hope that you'll listen to me. What I want to do is I want to tell you about the birth of the Old Paths Conference. I'm going to tell you why we're having a conference. And I'm going to tell you this, and you may not believe this, but I really didn't want to have a conference. Listen, I was with Brother Hiles for 18 years. I worked on his staff. You worked for Jack Hiles for 18 years, and if you get a chance not to have a conference, you'd prefer not to have one. I mean, I went through youth conferences and ladies' conferences and bus conferences and pastor schools and on and on and on and on. And believe me, not to be in a conference sure was a fresh breath of air. And so we kind of didn't want to have a conference, but we felt there was a need and for a specific purpose. And I think I'm going to describe that purpose to you tonight. And so if you'll listen to me, again, I'm going to do this with a lot of dynamics. I'm not. And I'm going to tell you about it. It's going to take me just a little while because I have a purpose in what I'm about to say. So in all honesty, I'm taking the chance that because I'm not going to preach and because I'm not going to run all over the place and I'm not going to illustrate and I'm not going to tell stories and jokes, I'm taking the chance that you may miss what I'm saying, but I hope that you'll listen to the words that I say. So I suppose I'm asking you to very seriously focus your mind on what I'm about to say. Most of you, if you have studied the title, if you will, of our conference, then I think you already know what it's truly about. But maybe I thought it would help if I would qualify it for you in my opinion and what this conference is really all about. Let me read a verse to you. Jeremiah 6:16, the Bible says this. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Now, of course, that's where we get the title for this conference, and that's where we get the term, the old paths. Someone's walking down a path. I think maybe they come to a fork in the road. And one direction says you go that direction, and that's the old path. That's the path that the old timers have trodden. That's the path that your forefathers have been on. But then there's another path. That fork in the road, it's a new path. And someone says here, they say, make sure you stay on the old path. Stay on that path of your forefathers. Now, I really just want to have a talk with you. I want to tell you how the Old Path Conference came to be and give you, you'll find tucked in this a little philosophy and some opinion, but I think it will help you. In the last many years, I've become a little concerned about some of the trends I see in our churches across the country. I preach across the country. I'm sure there are people that preach across the country much, much more than I do. I think I probably traveled somewhere between 80 and 100,000 miles last year, and I get to a lot of churches. I travel a lot, and I don't think I know it all, and I don't think I see it all. But I noticed some things, and I watched some things, and it bothered me to know that things were changing. And so I was hearing terms describing these trends or changes. I heard someone say, we're in the midst of a new fundamentalism. Now that startled me. Did you hear that? A new fundamentalism. Now, my friend, there can be no such thing as a new fundamentalism. Fundamentalism is, in its very definition, old. Fundamentalism can't be new. You can't have a new fundamentalism. That's like saying you want a cold cup of hot coffee. It's not possible. It's like saying you would like a dark light bulb. They just don't go together. So you cannot have a new fundamentalism. But you can exchange being a fundamentalist for becoming a modernist. Now, for those that call it a new fundamentalism, I think we're just masking what's really happening, because what's actually happening is in those trends that are moving away from the old-time ways, we're not developing a new fundamentalism. It's just been something that's been around for years. It's called becoming a modernist. In other words, exchanging our fundamental biblical beliefs, our standards, and our methods for modern ones. If we make this exchange, we're rejecting what our forefathers gave us and accepting and embracing modernism. You can call modernism by whatever name you want, but when you really unwrap the package and look down in there, it's still modernism. That's what it is. Those that would make this exchange will gradually see their crowd and their associations change. Why? In order to make the transition between fundamentalism and modernism. Notice the word gradual. Now let me show you something. I, again, had the privilege to be around Brother Hiles. Many of you, I mean, I look out and I know, I've known most of you for years and years and years and years. And you've gone to the same conferences that I went to, and you were there and you watched it happen. Now, here's something that Brother Hiles taught me and taught us. He said, for instance, if you take a church, and that church, say you take it over as a new pastor, and that church needs fixed up a bit. It's gotten away from some things it ought to be practicing. But he would say to us, now when you go in there, do it slowly. Do it slowly. Fix it up a little at a time. Don't give it a total facelift all at once. Don't be quick about it. Go in there and be slow and cautious. Why? He taught us slow transition is successful transition.
Right.
So when you take something that's kind of turned bad and you want to get it back on the path for good, you need to be gentle and slow and be cautious when you do it. How many of you remember him teaching that? Yeah, sure. A lot of you. Now, if Brother Hiles or if we were that smart, then I guess the devil could use some of the same approach. He's probably smart enough to use the same technique. For instance, he'll take something that is good and help it to transition into bad very slowly. Very slowly. A little at a time. Not giving it a total facelift all at once or quickly. He knows that, see, the devil knows that slow transition is successful transition. So just like we transition something from bad to good slowly and cautiously, the devil transitions something from good to bad very slowly. Let me warn everybody here, watch out for your church. The devil's not going to come in and give your old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church an overnight facelift and turn it into a modernist, liberal thing. He's going to help you to change just a little here, little there, back off a little here, a little there. And you add up enough of those little things, and before long he's saying, I moved you a long way, and you didn't even see what was happening to you. Now, that's what I fear for old-time fundamentalism. The trends that I see are ever so slight and gradual. The devil, and don't miss this, the devil will slightly hurt this generation, but destroy the next with the gradual change that this generation accepts. That's why we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. We're not only representing us now and this generation, but somebody better make sure the next generation has an old-time religion. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm just not. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, separated, premillennial, soul-winning, standard-believing, and standard-practicing, not just standard-advertising, standard-practicing, Baptist. I'm a Baptist. Now, I don't think I'm any smarter than my forefathers. I don't believe that you can improve on the old-time religion. I really don't. And I don't think I'm smart enough to even attempt to do it. I think I'll just do what my forefathers did and be satisfied with it. You say, why? Well, it worked pretty good for them. And I just want to stay on that old path. I really do. I don't want the new. I don't want the modern. And you know something? Don't feel sorry for me. You say, oh, that's so bad. No. Don't feel sorry for me when I say I don't want the new. I don't feel cheated because I don't want the modern. You look at me and say, oh, you don't know what you're missing out on. Oh, I do. I do, and I'm glad to miss out on it. I really don't like the stomach flu. Look, when I'm missing out on it, it doesn't bother me. That'll make you sick at your stomach. See, listen, I want what my forefathers had, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'll tell you this. My church will tell you this. You know, when I came here and I candidated, I preached a 34-point outline called Please Don't Vote for Me. I did. I said, listen, folks, let me tell you what I am and who I am and what I stand for. I said, look, if that's not what you want, don't vote for me because that's what I am. There's no sense in us trying to fool each other. I said, this is what I am. This is what I plan to stay. And let's just make an agreement here tonight. And this is what I did. I mean, you can check the CD or the tape. I said, whatever you do, don't call me here if this is not what you are and this is not what you want, because you are going to be sadly disappointed, because I am an independent, fundamental, King James Bible, loud mouth, hell-raising, right-wing Baptist. And I don't want to be anything else. And if you say, oh, I feel so bad for you, you're behind times, I like being behind times then. Hey, I'm not changed. I am, those of you that have known me through the years, I am right now what I was 10 years ago. I am. See, I want what my forefathers had. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not looking for something new. I'm talking about people like Jack Hiles and J. Frank Norris and John Rice. I'm talking about, I want the very same doctrines. Okay, don't get me. Don't try to sell me a wooden nickel. There's only so much doctrine in the Bible. I believe it all. Don't try to give me something new. I'm talking about the very same Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the very same Bible. I'm talking about the very same methods. I'm talking about the very same soul winning, the very same standards, the very same music, the very same ecclesiastical separation. I'm talking about the same convictions, the same hate for sin, and the same love for sinners. That's what I want. I'll tell you, and I'll tell you this again in a little while. Brother, if you came to this conference to maybe find out something new, I don't have anything new to offer you. I don't want to offer you anything new. I just want to offer you and remind you of the old. That's all. It was my privilege to sit at the feet of Brother Hiles for about 18 years. I was trained at his college. I'm not trying to say what I'm about to say arrogantly. Not only was I trained at his college, I had the privilege of being close to him. I guess you could say, in many ways, I was personally tutored by him. I spent hours with him. He taught me. And I tried to learn. When I was around him, I've been taught in college to be like a sponge and absorb all you can from those that are older and wiser than you. I was his assistant pastor. I served under him. I had many personal and spiritually intimate conversations with him. And I knew his heart concerning fundamentalism. I knew his heart and his desire. And any of you that were around him much, you would know his desire was that fundamentalism would not change. That was his desire. Now, I'm going to tell you one little personal conversation that I had with him once. The older he became, the more aware he became of the fact that the day would eventually come when he would pass away. I hated it when he talked that way. I just hated it. He and I were in an airport together. We were sitting and waiting for an airplane. We had flown to a conference together and spent days together, and then we were flying back. And he said this to me. He said, Jeff, I've got to say something. The other men in history that have built large works and bore the load of a large work, they passed away at a certain age. And he said, I'm at that age now. He said, if the norm happens, it won't be long. I'm going to die and I'm going on to heaven. And then his eyes would well up with tears. And he said this. He said, young man, when I die, you will just be coming into the prime of your life. He said, make me a promise. When I die, promise me, Jeff, you won't change. He said, I know what you are, and I know you really believe it. He said, you don't need anyone to hold your hand. I think you're going to believe it with or without the help of the crowd. And he said, just make me one promise. Promise me that after I'm gone, you won't change. Amen. And I promised him that I would not change. After his death, many times I've had people say to me in the last many years, I say, Brother Owens, could you maybe tell us, in your opinion, what is the condition of fundamentalism? I've been asked that. I'm asked that all the time. Here's my answer. Fundamentalism's confused.
right.
I see a lot of confusion among fundamentalists. A bit directionless.
That's right.
A bit gullible. A bit insecure. There's probably some of you, you came here to say, well, I wonder what this is going to be like. Because I'm sure looking for a place where I feel like I fit in, where I don't have to change to fit in. Now, if you know what I stand for, and I'm not going to say I'm right all the time. That's far from the truth. You just ask my wife. But I think fundamentalism's a bit confused. I really do. Now, let me tell you, the old PAS conference. A couple years ago, I was preaching at a conference in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. Brother Domley was there. We preached together. Afterwards, we ended up at a hotel. We had a cup of coffee together. And we got together to talk. And I don't get together and gossip about preachers. I'm not interested in that. That was not our intent. We sat down and talked. And we began to talk about truth. And we began to talk about the things of the Lord. And I said, you know, Brother Domley, I'm a bit concerned. I'm just watching people that are almost directionless. And, you know, something, Brother Hiles never wanted to be the Pope of fundamentalism, but a lot of people did watch him very carefully and follow him. And I said, I'm a bit concerned since Brother Hiles passed away. There are some people very directionless. I'm a little confused, having a difficult time standing on their own two feet. Folks, you know, we have to be very careful. We've never been told, you know, just follow a crowd here or there. Nowhere to follow Jesus here or there. Now, at least, I think that's right, isn't it? That's spiritual. Well, so we got to talking, and we talked about the truth and the concern. And that night, we decided that we would have some old PAS conferences and maybe just across the country go to some churches and just encourage people to stay on the old path and just continue what we have been given by our forefathers. Now, I'm going to share with you some of the guidelines that I have established for this conference. Let me tell you this. This one here is what we call it a national conference, and I don't know what deems a national conference. I just invited some of my friends to come, and we're going to have a preaching meeting and teach them about the things of the Lord. So just so you know, I'm not here to try to impress you with a great big conference, a national conference, an international conference, and we're not. All that doesn't mean anything to me. I just want to have a conference where I could help people be reminded of the old ways. Now, it's here at our church. I've been the pastor of this church for about 4 years. I really don't know the wisdom in deciding to have a conference after you've only been the pastor of a church for 4 years. But we're already there, and it's upon us. Now, so you know about my church, we're not perfect. But you'll go long and far to find a church that is as sincere. Our church just wants to help people. That's all we want to do. We're still in maybe a little bit of a transition, and I've only been here 4 years, but I can tell you this: God's blessing our church in a very miraculous way. Yesterday we had a very good day. Now you'll find out about me. I don't really want to try to flaunt numbers or anything like that. I think when I checked this town back before I came here, the population was somewhere between 14 and 16,000. Okay, and so now there are a lot of people around here, and there are a lot of people in some of the cities around us, but we are not in a metropolis like New York. But yesterday, we had 1,016 people in Sunday school, and we had 1,102 people in church. There were 48 people that walked these aisles, and trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I think, Brother Bajent, we had somewhere between 450, 475, something like that on the buses, okay? And so we had a good day for a town of 15, 16, 17,000 people, and the Lord blessed us. I know you know bigger churches, lots of them, and that's all fine and dandy. I'm just here to say, as we host some conferences, we're not trying to show off, nothing like that. But I do think that I want to tell you some of the guidelines that I put on having an old PAS conference. I'll tell you what they are. For instance, we're not competing against other conferences. That's not our goal. We struggle with the timing of this conference. I respect people that have other conferences, to be quite honest. I don't know how they think, but I looked at all the other conferences and I said, boy, I really don't want them to think I'm trying to compete with them. I'm not out to beat them. I'm not out to put them out of business. And so we struggled. Finally, we thought, well, we're going to tuck it in here in November. And I'll tell you something. If you say, well, I know somebody else is having a conference right now. Are you against them? Yes, I hate their guts. I want to destroy them. I'm evil and I'm out to get them. No, I tried my best to put it somewhere where it wouldn't bother anybody. And I did that on purpose. That's how I feel about it. I didn't schedule this conference in this month to compete with anybody. Truth is, it's rough on my church because we just hosted our East Coast Ladies Conference just 2 months ago. It's a little older and has built up a little more momentum than this conference, but we had well over 100 churches that attended, and those of you that sent your ladies, you know, we packed this building to overflowing. You could not, don't tell the fire marshal, you could not put any more people or should not put any more people in here than what we do. But let me say, we're not competing with the other conferences. That's not my goal. So next, and this conference will not be attacking other fundamental Baptist preachers and ministries. I have had the privilege of being in the private chambers of one of the greatest conference leaders in history. And I know what his desires were, and I watched how he handled it. We're not going to be attacking people. We're not going to attack an innuendo. We're just going to preach the truth, and we'll let the truth be the revealer of error. I have no axe to grind with any preachers. I just have a sword that I'm to carry, and I'll just take my sword to battle, and that's all. Next, in this conference, you'll see and you'll be taught the importance of having balance in your ministry. We want to reach the poor and help people learn to reach the poor, but we want to teach you how to reach the working class people also. We want to help you get balance in reaching the uneducated as well as the educated. Balance in reaching both America and then reaching the mission field. We want to help you to achieve balance. Hard preaching, but from a soft heart. We want you to have balance. We want to teach people to stand for truth, but that it be seasoned with grace. That's our goal. So we'd like to achieve a conference that had the right balance in it. Then this will be a conference where you'll be loved. And I have a great admiration, especially you men that are men of God. I do not think I'm better than you. I will not think that I'm better than you. But I grew up respecting men of God. When I look out and when I see you, I promise you, you'll be respected here. Well, you know something? If you struggle and you have problems and things don't go well, you'll still be respected because I know you're a human being. And all of us can struggle. And so, this is a conference where you will be loved. I had the privilege of studying a lot of the qualities of my pastor for 18 years. There was one that really enticed me. I watched him love people. I used to sit back and I thought, I'd like to preach like that, but I never will. I'd like to lead like that, but no chance. I'd like to build something like that, and I realized, not even comprehensible. Somehow, I had this little thought, if I could just learn to love people like that, I'd really, really like to do that. Oh, I'm far from it, but I've been working at it. And if you're here, and you're in my church, you hear me say this all the time, I love you. I love you. I love my church. And my church already knows this. If we had a conference here and it began to hurt my church, I'll just cancel the conference because my church is going to get first place. That's just all there is to it. But may I say, if you're a guest here today, if you come and you come to this conference, you'll be respected and you'll be loved. Then, this is a conference where old-time standards will be promoted and uplifted. We're not looking for something new there, not at all. then, this will be a conference where preachers can come and get challenged. I think they'll be encouraged. I think we could help charge you up a little bit. And we all need to help encourage one another. And we would love to have you come so that we could encourage you then. This will be a conference where a preacher will walk away saying, you know, I think with God's help I can make it. I think with God's help I can take it. I know, we all need encouragement. We all need someone to say, we can do this. We can do this. There's a real devil and he's out to stop us. And I'd like for you to know there was some place you could go and you'd get encouraged and be able to walk away and say, I think I can do it. I think I can do it. And listen, I'm going to tell you why you're going to feel that way, son. Because if I can make it, I know you can. There are so many men in this room. I look out. I don't want to start looking at you, but I'm a bit intimidated by you. You're a far better preacher. You know more than I know. Now I know that. But listen, if I can do it, who can't? I mean, I'm just a dumb little old country boy from the cornfields of Indiana. I hope somehow, as God helps my church and our people and this country preacher to succeed, hope somehow you're able to walk away saying, you know, Ad Owens, if he can do it, why can't I? And I believe that. Maybe God was looking for a fellow that was a bit limited in his potential to say, you know, I think I'll help this guy because I think if I could help him, those other average guys could get some faith about themselves too. And so, here, I'd like for you to find encouragement. This conference is going to have old-fashioned revival type music. You won't come in here saying, is that contemporary? No, you won't. You won't. I don't want anything to do with contemporary. You say, explain that. I hate that question. It just makes me mad. You know the worst thing about the contemporary religion is because it is so hard to explain, but we know what's wrong. We know what's wrong. Then, this will be a conference where a pastor can bring his people and not fear that he'll be scorned in his people's presence. I will respect you. I know that if your people come, that you'd like to be treated with dignity, and I will uplift your position. Now, uplifting you, I don't know how much we're supposed to uplift people, but I can tell you this, I will help to magnify your office. I promise you that. Then, this will be a conference where you'll be taught philosophies such as, I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. Now, let me say something about that statement. I've heard it before. I hear people that quote it. But saying it really doesn't mean much to me. You see, there's a verse in Owens chapter 2. It's this. The proof's in the pudding. You're telling me that you don't use your people doesn't mean anything to me. I'd like to see your people and talk to them about that. Because really and honestly, lots of people say they believe that philosophy, but not lots of people actually live that philosophy. You come here, you'll be taught philosophy such as loyalty. And loyalty to our principles, not to institutions. You'll be taught that decision making is to be based not on money, but is to be based on it's to be based on right and wrong. We'll learn about friendship, being true friends to our friends. Now, you pastors, again, I'll say something that in a way I know I don't qualify to say, but I'm going to say it. If you're a pastor here, if you're a man of God, an assistant pastor, I'll be your friend. And just flat out, you already see it. It's obvious to you. I'm not a Solomon. I'm not a Lee Robertson. I'm not a Tom Malone. I'm not a Jack Hiles. I'm Jeff Owens. That's all I am. I'm 46 years old. Now, I have 90-year-old hair, but don't let that fool you. I'm not a great leader. But I do know how to do one thing. I know how to be someone's friend. If I can ever help you, I'd be glad to return your calls. And anybody in here that's ever called me, you know, I'll return your call. And I'll help you. And I'll try to answer your questions. I may not be able to help solve your problem. But I could do this. I could love you. I could encourage you. And I could probably figure out a way to encourage your church. Not because of who I am, but because of who I know and who I have known. And the experience that was bestowed upon me, probably I could figure out a little something that could bail you out a bit. But I just want you to know, I'll be your friend. Man, this conference is not out to get anything out of you. I've told my church, and they already know this. We're here to serve you. That's all. We're just here to serve you. Our church wants to serve the people that come and visit us. I think what I've been taught is that's what being a pastor is. I'm here to serve the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I want to meet their needs. I want to help them. I want to serve them. If you ever come and visit our church, our goal is to serve you. We want to meet your needs. Our plan is not to make merchandise of you. That's not the intent. Pretty well, if you've ever sent anybody to my East Coast Ladies Conference, you pay a fee to come, and then we turn around and we give you back in gifts. Usually, more than what you gave us in your fee. We're not trying to make money off of you. That's not our plan. That's not our goal. It takes a little money to get a conference going, but just so you know, our church is willing to sacrifice and help and try to make a conference affordable, something that you might be able to get some encouragement at. Then, this conference, listen to this. If you don't attend our old PAS conference, we won't blacklist you or anything like that. Your attendance to this conference is wanted and it's desired, but it's not expected. It is not mandatory. Did you hear something? I'm glad.
I thought they were calling my number.
You know, if you come to this conference this year, thank you for coming. If you don't come back next year, I'm not going to be mad at you. You don't have to wonder how I'm going to feel about you. I guess the best way to say it is, you don't have to be loyal to me. Not at all. I sure would like for us to be loyal to the same principles. I'd like us to be loyal to the same Bible. The same methods and the same old-time way of doing things. You know something I learned? I think the truest tie in loyalty is not necessarily just between two people. It is what is binding them. I've got a hunch that that's what we're supposed to be loyal to. And you'll figure out who's on the same ball team just by based on who's being loyal to this. You'll figure that out. And so, we're not forming a denomination, invisible or visible. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. And I don't want to be a part of anything else. So your attendance to this conference, hey, let me say, your attendance to this conference does not necessarily make you a true blue independent fundamental Baptist. There'll be some that will come in that are not. But your absence from this conference does not necessarily not make you an independent fundamental Baptist. This conference desires unity. I'd like to promote unity. But I will promote unity not for unity's sake.
Yes, sir.
I'll promote unity in regard to the truth. To the truth. We will unify letting truth be our common denominator. I will not unify where there's an absence of truth or where truth is being diluted or denied. And so, I love unity. I love it in my church. Boy, I talk about unity in the church. But if you think for a moment I'm going to drop the standards or change the doctrines or change and get on another path to achieve unity, you're crazy. You're crazy. So I'm for unity. But I am for unity because of the truth. I am not for unity for the sake of unity. Then, this will be a conference where the methods of our forefathers will be kept alive and before you. I believe in confrontational evangelism. I believe in the bus ministry. I believe in independent Baptist missionaries. I believe in the Sunday school ministry. I believe in youth departments that have the same music and standards as the rest of the church. I believe in Christian schools that are not just private schools, but they have standards, and that the Christian schools also practice ecclesiastical separation and fellowship with people and churches and schools of like faith and like standards. I believe in old-fashioned prayer meetings, old-fashioned revivals. You say, where's the new stuff? I don't have any. You say, why not? Because I've not been going to places you go to get it. all I have to go by is what I learned through the years, and my brain's all packed full of stuff, and I got such a small brain, there's no room for anything new. I'm just going to have to go on what's already in there, and I feel good about that. You really won't be hearing a bunch of new things. We'll teach you the old, the tried, and the true, which means in essence what we're going to end up doing is just reminding you, most of you, what you already know. I got saved when I was 16. All the way through my 16th year, I heard an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist preacher preach. We started in the 17th year of life. You know what he did? He preached about everything he preached the year before. I was 18. I was still in that church. You know what he did? He preached about everything he'd preach in my 17th year of my life. He preached it all again. Same thing he preached when I was 16. I've been doing this for 30 years. Can I tell you the hardest thing, all the people that are members of my church, can I tell you the hardest thing that I do? Figure out a way to keep your attention while I preach to you the same thing I preached to you 3 years ago. Some of you are so starved to come up with something impressive that's new. Really, your job is just to package the old in a new wrapping, but keep reaching the old. I know that's a challenge. I realize that. But that's really what it's all about. You just give me the old paths. Again, I'm sure just standing up here and talking like this for 25, 30 minutes has not been real dynamic, and I'm sure it's not been real impressive. But I guess I just want to tell you what we're doing and why. And hey, if you say, I don't like that, yeah, then please don't vote for me. But I think it's only fair that you know what we are. I don't think you'll come to our conferences and you'll say, oh, I've never seen that before. I've never heard that before. Where'd they come from? What's that? I don't think that'll be the case. But let me tell you this. If you ever do come and you say, oh, that's new, then don't come back the next year because something's wrong with us. When my children were growing up, I told them this. I said, kids, that's the right book. I said, going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's right. The standards and the convictions that you've been reared by, they're right. And I told my children, if Dad ever strays, then you realize Daddy's wrong. And that book's right. I'm not ashamed to say that. And you know something? If ever you find out that maybe I've changed my preaching and changed what I stand for, I wish you'd separate from me. Because I would not want to be the downfall of the next generation. I'd rather God kill me and take me out of the way before I dilute the inheritance that I have received from my forefathers. That gives you just a little idea of what our conference here is really all about.